Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. It's midweek. We're going to get you through with some fun Disney talk, including a great question from listener Emily about the logistics of Disney transportation, how to get from a Disney race back to the pool to chill and get to Hoop-Dee-Doo on time. What's the best way to go about that? Lots of questions like that and more. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm down to just 11 days until my secret Central Florida getaway. Can't wait to see some palm trees and get out of the snow here in St. Louis. That's right, I just said snow. It's nuts. But you can get excited for that next trip as well. You can count down the days right there on your smartphone, your Apple device. You get pictures. You can put your own pictures in there as well. You can get an audio alert each and every day. Customize the color, the font, just make it yours. But it gets you excited every time you send a text, place a phone call, or post to social media. Check out these and other great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Also, please support the show using our Amazon affiliate link. It's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, but it really does help support the show. So the next time you go online to do some shopping, please click through our Amazon affiliate link. Again, it's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1311 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We are recording live here on Facebook, having a great time talking about the awesome weather we're all experiencing, especially in the Midwest, in the center part of our country, and the East Coast. Now, nothing like a little post-Easter snow, people. It's fun. You know what? That just makes Florida even better. Makes you want to go out to a Disney destination. I can't wait till my next trip. I'm telling you, Florida is beautiful. It's awesome. Palm trees, green stuff. I wouldn't know what any of that stuff looks like right now, so can't wait to get back. And Ricky, you're about to get muted again, so don't do that. All right, anyway, before we get to introducing the ladies, want to remind you one more time, we have great group rates right now for Marathon Weekend 2019. So Lizards, anybody that's going down to cheer on friends or family, great specials, Pop Century, Caribbean Beach, Port Orleans Riverside, Beach Club and Polynesian, let me know. I'll get you those rates. They're so hot. I feel like I'm like an infomercial. They're so hot, we can't let you know on the air, but I'll get you those rates right away and we can get you booked. But rooms are going quickly, so book those rooms right away for Marathon 2019. All right, let's introduce the ladies. Let's get to your listener questions. Joining me from, I can't even say, I guess Atlanta, Georgia, because it's beautiful there. It's not beautiful here. Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Ricky, tread lightly with your comments. Go ahead.
There's green out my window right now, so yes, I'm just saying. Thanks. I see grass and trees are budding with greenery, and it's beautiful outside. So I'm just rubbing it in just a little bit.
It's beautiful here. Yeah. It's beautifully white. Rubbing it's ridiculous.
It's like almost 80 degrees today. It's perfect. It's the perfect weather. I sat outside in red at lunch. It was awesome.
Beautiful. You know, we didn't have a white Christmas, but we did have a white Easter. So there's something to be said for that. And also, you know, Pam gets it. Pam Forrester, she's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. More snow on the ground her way too. What's going on, Pam?
It is. Happy past Easter. We're hoping we're past the snow at this point and moving on. What about the whole March coming in like a lion and out like a lamb thing? Like, I don't really feel like that happened. But anyways, so we're on to it. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some good weather. And I know in about 2 weeks, Mike and I will have great weather. So it'll be all good.
We better. So we'll be That's all I got to say. Here. We better. We better have some, because I could just see like some crazy cold front will go through and it'll be, you know, 40. It can't happen. I'm going to Old Navy to buy some new shorts. All right. Anyway, so let's get to Emily's question. She's live in the Facebook chat. If you want to join us, we're typically on about 5:30 Eastern on Monday evenings. We record these live, and so you can join in and be a part of the fun. Even the pre-show is kind of more fun as we have a good time here. We mute Ricky. But anyway, we're getting to the question. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Question for you in regards to traveling to Hoop Dee Doo. We have a reservation for the 4 p.m. show, the day of the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon. There'll be 9 of us for dinner, and we're meeting some other lizards for the show. If you're new to the podcast, lizards are the running squad members. They're not actually reptiles. She's actually going to have dinner with folks that like to wear these lime green shirts and run a lot of miles. Our immediate party consists of 5, and we're staying at All Star Sports. Our plan after the half marathon was to come back to the hotel, eat, nap, and hang by the pool and try to take it easy. What is the best way or time frame for us to get to the hotel to Hoop Dee Doo? Let's see. We'd be down for a minivan, but I'm not sure they go from the value hotels. Will we be better off going to a park and then trying to get to Fort Wilderness? Also open to the idea of using Uber or Lyft, but I know those services won't take us directly there. This will be our first trip over to Fort Wilderness, so I have nothing to base this on from past experiences. Thanks so much for all your help. Emily's in New Jersey, 335 miles from Pam. All right, Ricky, so my advice, just off the top of my head, if this was me and us at All Stars, need to get to Hoop Dee Doo, this is an Uber. This is an Uber for me because I jumped that internal bus and I'm right there pretty easily. But what say you? Magic Kingdom or anything like that?
Yeah, so I was thinking either the Uber option or I was thinking going to the Magic Kingdom and then taking the bus to the Magic Kingdom and then the boat over from the Magic Kingdom to Fort Wilderness, because the boat will drop you off right where Hoop Dee Doo is. So, I mean, either way, you're going to have to take 2 forms of transportation. So it just depends on which 2 forms of transportation you want. You know, for sure with an Uber, like, it'll tell you how soon it'll be till they pick you up. So you don't have to guess as far as how long the Disney transportation will take as much as you would if you were taking Disney transportation all the way around. So, yeah. I would probably do the Uber if it was me, but depends on if you want a scenic route. So.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously Disney transportation will be free, and Uber ride will probably be around $8 to $10. So, I mean, it's time's money, you know, just inconvenience. So just me, I would do Uber, but, you know, going to the Magic Kingdom, hopping the boat over, not a bad idea, but it's going to take quite a long time compared to an Uber and just the quick little bus ride. You could even walk back. I mean, you've just run 13 miles. You could probably
walk a quarter of a mile.
It's not that bad. You know what? She's never been to Fort Wilderness. Honestly, it is a nice walk because you get to kind of see the resort. It's not that bad. I mean, seriously, come on.
Don't walk it.
It's not that bad. You got to fill your circles. Well, her circles will be full because it's half marathon day. Anyway, next question is from Emily. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My husband, 2 girls who are 5 and 2, and I are heading back to Disney World at the end of April. Woohoo! I love when people put stuff like that in their emails because I have to try to get the enthusiasm. I have 2 questions. We'll be there on Sunday for the first time and need to figure out a way to get to Mass. What is the best way to do this, as we'll need a car seat and booster at the minimum, and I don't think the minivans will go off property to drop us off and pick us up. All right, so let's stop there, Pam. They want to go off property, obviously, to go to Sunday Mass, and the little girls do need child seats. So what's their option here?
So your option is Uber if you bring alone your own booster seat. While they can do Uber and go ahead and request a car seat, I think the booster seat's a little more challenging because, those have different weight requirements and whatnot. If you look on Amazon, there are actually booster seats that you can take with you that are small and portable. I think some are even inflatable, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know if that meets all safety requirements.
It seems dangerous.
Sounds like my parents used to haul me around in a laundry basket. It sounds like one step up from that.
Yeah, we used to stand stand behind whoever was driving and hold on to the seats behind. But anyways, that would seem to be acceptable when I was a child, but look on Amazon for that. Otherwise, you can also check with the concierge there and they can inform you in terms of taxi services. I know that taxis do have at least some car seats available, and you'll have to chat about booster seats as well. Your other option, of course, is to rent a car just for that day, but you probably don't want to do that. And again, you'll be responsible for either paying or bringing your car seat and booster seat as well. So check into the portable options, though. And especially if your child is already going to be in a seat when they're flying. I always found when Hannah was little, she did much better if I brought the car seat with us, because then we could just strap her in the car seat and she didn't, it was just like she was in the car. Sometimes if you don't put kids in their car seat, they're kind of, they feel like they want to get up and like walk around, and it's just so much easier to kind of have them corralled in something that is typical, is normal for them. You know, when they're in the car, they don't ask to get up and get around. So if you have them strapped in the car seat, and that kind of helps the whole process too. So hopefully that'll help.
All right. Sounds great. She has a second question. You know, and also she is staying at the boardwalk, she's mentioning here in the second part of the question. So if you go to the Bell Services folks at the boardwalk, their concierge is going to be great. They're going to get you there the easiest way. They'll take care of stuff for you. So just ask. Also, we're staying at the boardwalk and hopefully walking to Epcot at least once a day. Where are the kids' activities, playgrounds and such, and are they only open during certain hours? So, Ricky, how about that playground that they have going on during the Flower and Garden? Is that open the whole time the park's open? And what other kids' activities? They're 5 and 2.
Oh, that's actually a good question. I'm not 100% sure if the... I'm losing hats. I'm not 100% sure if the playground areas are open all day. I would say that they are at least open till 7, because that's when a lot of the future world stuff closes. That's where there are two kids play areas. One is over by Test Track. It's kind of Cars themed. And the other one is over on the other side, over by the Imagination Pavilion. It's along the walkway to World Showcase that's over there. And it's kind of melody themed, got a lot of musical instruments type things. They are not gigantic play structures this year like they had been in the past. They're more like activity structure type things that you can do. Like I said, the musical instruments and things like that over at the melody one. But so they have changed a little bit. But I would say that they would probably close at 7 if I had to take a guess.
All right. So is there any other things you can, because they're going to walk over to Epcot once a day. Maybe the Epcot Kidcot stops. I mean, it sounds great for the 5-year-old, you know, to kind of interact with some folks from around the world. The 2-year-old's mm-hmm. still kind of on that border where I think just everything's just going to be discovered as walking around, don't you think?
Absolutely. Right now they do have for the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival, they have the Spikes Pollination Hunt or whatever it's called. And there are these little like bees that you have to search, look for and find and then put a sticker on a map that corresponds to where you found the specific bee at, or, you know, stuff like that. So that's something that you can maybe do. So that would be kind of fun, I think. And it kind of goes along with the KidCots things too, because you can do kind of both at the same time. So the maps, I think, cost $5.99 right now. So,
all right. You know, I was trying to get, Mallory wanted that Sully egg from the egg hunt so bad, and I just dropped the ball. Didn't get a chance. I was going to tell Scott, he just got back, but just thought about that. Oh, well, next year. All right. Next email is questions about Wilderness Lodge and minor mobility issues. It's from Kaylin. She's in Leslie, Arkansas. She says, "Woo Pig Suey." At least she's an SEC fan. 334 miles from St. Louis, 563 from Ricky, and 885 from Pittsburgh. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My mom and I are taking a short trip to the world from July 25th to the 28th this summer to celebrate 20 years of Walt Disney World together. We took our first trip when I was 6, and I'll turn 26 just before this trip. That's a great idea. Let's see. Through some clever budgeting and a PIN code, we were able to get a courtyard view room at Wilderness Lodge. So exciting, as this is our first deluxe resort stay, and have a few questions. And I love Wilderness Lodge. It's awesome. And I always get courtyard view. First, I will have some minor mobility issues this trip. I'll be having ankle surgery about 7 weeks before the trip. I'll be able to walk by the time of the trip, but will likely be in a walking boot, so walking might be tough. We are planning on making this a Magic Kingdom only trip and using the boat for transportation almost exclusively. With us having a courtyard view room, are there any room requests that you should think I should make that would make the walk back to the room at night easier? Should I request something close to the lobby still? Also, we have an 8:30 a.m. breakfast reservation at Be Our Guest on our first full day and think we should be heading over to the park around 7:45. Will the boats be running that early, or will we need to take a bus? Love the podcast and keep up the good work, Kaylin. All right, so let me give her a little advice first about the room request. Because we had a killer room, and it was courtyard view, about 2 summers ago when we stayed at Wilderness Lodge. And I didn't request this, but it worked out great. We had a room that was on like the 4th or 5th floor, 3rd floor, I can't remember. It wasn't it was up a little ways, but not to the top. in our room was the first room closest to the elevator. And let me just tell you how awesome that was. There wasn't any noise from the elevator or anything like that, but we literally come out our room, boom, be on the elevator, and you're down at, like, I didn't have any issues, but like you're at Roaring Fork, like in 30 seconds. It's ridiculous. And like you can get out of the hotel super fast. And when you're tired at the end of the night, boom, you hop on the elevator. Basically, it's delivering you right to your room. So I might ask for a request like that. Pam, any other suggestions? Because again, if you're in a walking boot, you want to minimize each and every step that you can. And those halls at Wilderness Lodge, is, you know, most Disney resorts, especially like Yacht Beach and Animal Kingdom, I mean, they go on for miles and miles, I feel like, sometimes.
I know. And thankfully, just the way that the Wilderness Lodge is built, because it is kind of built sort of like a U, like a squared off U, yep. Right? That it's not quite that bad. It doesn't have wings that go on to the Swan and Dolphin or, you know, like the Yacht and Beach Club does. It doesn't have that. So you're really fortunate for that. If you want to be close to the elevator and feel like that's consideration, absolutely. But we've also been on the very end of the U and had a great view too, because some of those rooms have a view of sort of the electrical water pageant and all of that. You can at least hear it, you know, especially when you have the door open. So sometimes with things like that, if there's not something I feel like I really want, I sort of just leave it up to chance to see what I get. Cause I've found, you know, sometimes that room, even when I don't make a room request, that I land in a portion of the resort that I never thought to request. And it becomes my new favorite part of the resort. So that's a good option too. One of the things I do like to request though, is I like to request a high floor, and that's just a personal preference. Some people like lower floors, but anything like that, maybe you want to do. But I don't think you're going to get a bad room. You're going to have that lovely courtyard view and you're going to be able to, I'm already jealous, right? Can you hear it? My voice, you're going to be able to come back to your room, open up the sliding glass door and hear the kids playing in the pool and all of that. So that's awesome.
But what I think is smart about this is that she's coming, you know, with her coming off ankle surgery, likely being in a walking boot, she's tempered the expectations pre-trip. You know, she's saying it's going to be a Magic Kingdom only trip, where that's setting her up for success. I think a lot of us can learn from each other. And this is why I like podcasts like this, when we have listener questions, people writing in. Because the thing is, you're going to be tempted to get down there and you're going to, you know, Stacy's going to be on the TV and they'll be talking about Pandora. And it's like, oh man, I can do Pandora, you know, and then you get over there and like you've taken, you know, 8,000 steps and you're halfway to Pandora at the park because you had to wait for the park opening, and you're just on your feet a ton more than you even think about. Even as a veteran traveler, when I get down there, I'm like, just standing hurts my back. You know what I'm saying? It's not even the amount of miles or steps. It's the standing, like that kills my back. So I think she's setting herself up for success. Ricky, what about the second part? 7:45 a.m. for an 8:30 be our guest, morning breakfast ADR. Boats possibly could be closed. You might have to catch a bus, but I'd ask at the concierge. But I mean, are they leaving in enough time at 7:45 for an 8:30 ADR? What do you think? I'm an early bird. But see, the problem is I'm terrible at stuff like this because I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. That's me.
Yeah, see, I'm obviously the more, you know, 5 minutes late person. I mean, I think that Wilderness Lodge. I think, yeah, they, if they're not offering the boat transportation, and they will tell you at the front desk if they are or not, offering it at that point, they will have a bus. So they will have a way for you to get there one way or another. So, you know, you can take that. I think that the time frame that they have is probably fine, to leave. You know, so I think that they're good there. But yeah, either they'll have to take a bus if the boat's not running, or they'll take the boat.
But see, here's the thing I say. When you say leaving at 7:45, that means like be leaving your hotel at 7:45. Like don't start looking for your Magic Band at 7:45. Like you guys do. It just with my family, I got to be proactive on these things. I always tell them like at least 50 minutes before I really want to leave, just for that fact, you know, because
yeah, see, that's probably what happens. You should tell me, because exactly. I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, it's cool. I'll make it when I get there. They're still serving breakfast and I have the reservation.
See, I hate being late. You should be prompt. That's me. But anyway, all right. I don't want to get into it because I'm getting,
if you're not early, you're late.
I know. Exactly. I'm always late. Then it's fine. I already know that about myself. It's fine.
All right, the next one is a Disney dining plan question for the show for a trip from April 12th to the 16th, and it's from Kylie. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I discovered your show by chance around Christmas when I got my Amazon Echo, and was trying to find Disney podcasts to listen to on TuneIn as I putter around the house. It was truly fate because now you guys are my favorite show. Thanks for all you do. We appreciate that very much. And don't forget, you can listen to the show very easily. Just, I can't say the word. I don't want to say the A word because it'll trigger everybody. But all you have to do is say, here's what you got to say. Listen to the Be Our Guest podcast on TuneIn after you say the trigger word and you're set. It's really cool.
She's our best friend.
Yeah, I love her. Go ahead.
We are on Spotify, for those who don't know.
Yes,
so.
We're
That's
everywhere.
True. Look at us. We're on Spotify. Who would have thought?
I know. And we're on the Apple HomePod and the Google Home. We're everywhere. I mean, I'm telling you.
We're like the old folks of Spotify, though, I swear.
Let's see. Next to my Justin Timberlake radio and my Ed Sheeran radio, I've got the BRS podcast radio. It's fine.
Yeah, got to cover all the demographics, man. You got to be where the people are. That's what we do.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, we're live on Facebook right now. My question is this. My boyfriend and I will be using the regular Disney dining plan on our upcoming April trip. He's never used it, and I haven't since 2013. It just seems like a smart idea this go around. Now that the meal plan credits include alcoholic beverages, I'm more determined than ever to get maximum value from my plan. By circumstances, most of our quick service credits will be redeemed at our resort, the Contemporary. So we're talking Contempo Cafe. Does the Contempo Cafe have booze to supplement our morning bounty platters and lunchtime snacks or salads? I got messed up with the booze and the breakfast platter. That just totally threw me for a loop. And I read this one earlier today, and it still threw me for a loop the second time. Thanks for all you do. The said New York Rangers fan is currently living in the Boston suburbs, about 561 miles from Pam. She calls Crosby some mean name here and Dirty Penguins. Sorry, Pam. So
wow.
I know. She cuts right to the core here. All right. So,
you never hear that.
Yeah, you never do. You never hear Chris. She said cry baby Crosby. So that's what was actually in the message. Anyway, so let's move on before we have hatred here. It's already going to get crazy. Okay. So anyway, she's looking, and I get it. You want to get the most value out of those quick service credits on the Disney dining plan now. So Contempo Cafe does have alcoholic beverages. I mean, they do. Now, do you get one? Well, I guess it doesn't matter if you're redeeming it for breakfast. You can redeem it whenever. So I guess you could still get that, right? It just kills me.
Yes.
The breakfast bounty platter and like a Bud Light or something. That just cracks me up. But go ahead.
Why not, right?
A bounty and a Bud Light.
I don't know.
They have the great thing about the Contempo Cafe is it has actually one of those refrigerator sections where you can open up and grab whatever you want. So you don't have to go to the person behind the counter and be like, "Yes, I'd like the bounty platter with eggs and that beer right there,
and a nice Merlot.
I'm winning this morning,
hard lemonade or whatever they have up there. I mean, so they just have them there. So I honestly, that would absolutely be the best way to go because you can grab even if you aren't going to drink it right then, which I'm supposing that you aren't. I don't know. They don't have.
It's vacation.
Yes, I don't judge. I mean, mimosas are okay and Bloody Marys are okay. What would make a beer not okay? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So no judgment here, but if you want to enjoy it later in the day, take it up to your room and put it in the refrigerator. But that's 100% what the Foresters would and will be doing. I guarantee that.
I will tell you that I'm in this pickle. Okay, so we're going down to Florida here in a couple weeks, and I'm flying in on a Sunday morning. Like I got a 7:20 flight down, and then I'm flying back. Well, I was flying back originally at 7:15 a.m., which meant I was having to get up at 3:15 a.m. to get Magical Express. And I was like, I'm changing that flight and going to change some things up. So I did that, but I was in a pickle because I have all these free drink coupons from Southwest. They mail them to me quite frequently. And so I always usually get one margarita, you know, just to take the edge off. I love flying now, but it helps. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not, you know, I'm still, I wouldn't fly for years. You guys know that. So it does kind of help take the edge off. But you know what? Do you order a margarita at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday flying down to Florida? I don't know. So I'll take your thoughts.
Yeah,
on that.
Just do a screwdriver, but you like tequila. So instead of vodka, just get tequila in it. Ask for an orange juice and a little tequila.
I don't know if I like orange. Because I don't know that many drinks. I don't even know. A screwdriver would be like a tequila and orange juice.
Okay. A screwdriver is traditionally orange juice and vodka, but you don't really like vodka. You like tequila. So just ask for an orange juice and then ask for a little tequila.
They'll be like, what do you think? You're sitting in first class. You're riding on Southwest in like row 17 by the window.
And ask for a lime, too, just to give it a little
Yeah, exactly. Think about it. You have a free coupon? Whatever. All right. Next question.
Special order of all things.
I will. I'll let you know how that goes. All right, Mark Yerkes, my good buddy up in Chicago, is up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We're doing the Frozen Ever After dessert party at Epcot. After Illuminations, we will be escorted to ride Frozen Ever After. When we're leaving Epcot from there, will Mouse Gear still be open? Since Michelle considers that her favorite attraction at Epcot, I need to know whether we should plan to visit earlier in the day or not. Have any of you done this dessert party? Thanks, Mark. All right, I don't think, Pam, have you? I know, Ricky, you haven't yet.
I haven't. I have not had the chance to do it. And I am really, I'm actually thinking about doing it this summer because I really want to try it out. And then, by the way, the big plus for me is that I don't have to use my FastPass for Frozen Ever After. And I get delicious desserts. And I get viewing for the fireworks. I think the bargain of the century, just saying this now. Sure. It's not a bargain, but you know what I mean. So anyways, but I do not know this, and I don't think that it will be. It's funny, the last time we were down there, and this wasn't specifically at this, but it was actually at Hollywood Studios, and we watched the fireworks, the Star Wars fireworks. And they started right when the park closed. So that took the 15 or 20 minutes or whatever it did to do that. And then by the time they were all over, we walked over to the sweet shop because it was late in the evening and we hadn't eaten for like an hour and 15 minutes. So it was time for like a cookie or something. And they were closed. And like Steve was like, like he couldn't believe it, but they've been much more prompt about closing some of the things, which I'm like, I feel like that's a lost revenue opportunity. I mean, there were lots of people who wanted something sweet after the fireworks. So I'm not sure that it will be unless you make it within that half hour, you know, or so time frame before they close those shops. So just to be sure, and I know that you would want to make sure that she gets her Mouse Gears fix, I would visit later or earlier in the day just to make double sure. And then if it does happen to be open, guess what? You could just like go ahead anyway.
And can I say how awesome it is that Mouse Gear is her favorite attraction at Epcot, and how even how more awesome it is that Mark is trying to accommodate.
I love it.
Michelle's favorite attraction is Mouse Gear.
That's awesome.
All right. Next question is from Lee and says, hi, everyone. I'm a newish listener and heading to Walt Disney World with my husband and 4-year-old daughter on May 3rd. This will be her second trip. Her first was when she was one. I've really enjoyed listening and all of your tips and visits and ADRs and fast passes. One question. Are there any plans to add Moana to Walt Disney World? The little one loves everything princesses and most recently Moana and Maui. They would probably make her trip. Thanks, Leah's from Boston, 1,179 miles from Mike, 572 from Pam, and 1,079 from Ricky, just in case anybody's keeping track on their scorecard at home. All right, so what's the status on Moana and Maui? Ricky, what's going on?
I hate to tell you this, but as of right now, there is nothing with Moana or Maui. Except for Moana's Mercantile at Disney's Polynesian Resort, but that's a gift shop, so that's not really going to satisfy her itch. I do know that last year during the Halloween party, guests could meet Moana, but again, you had to pay for the Halloween party, and then you had to wait in the very, 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 very long line to meet Moana, so that's kind of a bummer, and Maui wasn't there at all, so it doesn't look good. I am sorry to tell you. Unfortunately, there are rumors floating around. We won't discuss those, but, you know, because I don't know how true the rumors are, but that's where we're at right now. So,
Jessica in the chat totally beat me to it.
I'm kind of bummed about this, by the way. Like, you should totally be able to meet Moana.
You're welcome. I hear I hear that song all the time when I'm on hold with Disney Cruise Line. And I know I had this argument at Las Fuentes last Friday night with because I've never seen the movie. But so I had this argument. I had this argument with Mallory. She says they're in there because there's a song where Moana's singing. OK, and I think it's that song. You're welcome. Maybe it's they always play it on the hold on Cruise Line.
That's Maui. OK, that's fine.
But anyway, continue. There's a song. And I know in the song the lyrics say, I am Moana. And she's like, she never says her name in the song. I'm like, I hear it every day, like six times. I know she says it. So back me up. In that song, does she say, like, in the one part, she like talks about all her life and all this stuff, but then in like the big crescendo, she says, I am Moana. Is that true? And by the way, they should add her to the Lilo and Stitch breakfast at Ohana. Boom, problem solved, and you get more revenue. Oh, but there you go.
I know. Here, I'm going to say they should change it to Moana and Maui.
Okay, right. Now, you go big or go home, I guess. Yeah.
Go big or go home. I mean, as much as I love Stitch, and well, as Brian loves Stitch, and Lilo, I think that would be a better choice. But, and they would totally sell out that breakfast all the time. I feel like you're probably right, obviously, if you've heard the song about a million times. I've only actually seen Moana once. I'm a terrible person. I like the movie, but I've also only seen it once. So, sorry, I'm not, you know,
I'm not either. I do listen to the song, but like, I don't pay attention to the words.
The day that I was on hold for 21 hours, I heard it like 96 times, and then Mallory's trying to argue with me, and I'm like, I'm telling you, I've heard it. It's burned into my brain, and it's not the You're Welcome song. She's a descendant from like people from other places.
Yeah. I think it's one of the first few songs.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'll look on something. Okay, anyway, next. You don't have to, guys. Guys, we're supposed to be helping you. You don't have to help me.
Sorry, you guys don't have to help us.
Win the argument with his daughter.
That's it. Yeah, please, because it'll never happen. I've learned. I'm the only guy in this household. I never win any argument. I've given up at this point.
That's the way it is.
It is. It's sad. Steve knows. All right. Anyway, so Beaches and Cream dining plan question for Mickey. Hey there, BOGP pals. I have a question for the podcast, even though I'm not going till 2019. I'm curious how the Disney dining plan works at Beaches and Cream, since there are so many specialty items on the menu. I see it's a table service credit, but I can't see, aside from the kitchen sink, which items might be excluded. For example, the fudge mudslide sounds amazing, but would I be wasting my included dessert by ordering this? I love planning almost as much as I love going, so your podcast has been a huge help, and y'all have a great company on my commute. Mickey's in Las Vegas, 2,189 miles, and about 30 degrees warmer from Pam, than Pam. There you go. So she's rubbing it in too. Mickey, you're getting muted.
No.
Pam, walk her through the dining plan at Beaches and Cream. So, I mean, you can. It is a table service where you can use it for like a meal with burgers and fries and a dessert, but I mean, obviously, the kitchen sink is excluded. What else? What else can you tell her?
I don't think it's actually a good use of a table service credit. I honestly think that you're probably better off going ahead and just paying for this one out of pocket if you want to go to it. I believe that the No Way Jose and even things like that are considered desserts that feed two people, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't 100% know for sure on that. But when you look at the general cost of the entree, that's going to be the thing that really helps you determine whether or not that's going to be something that is include, you know, will be a good value or not. And those entrees have a fairly low price point for that. But I will say, we have tried the mudslide shake, and it is very good. They had added those shakes that have the alcohol in them, I think sometime last year, the year before or something, and they were good. They were good choices, but I think still overall, you're probably going to be better just paying out of pocket for that one.
And that's what the folks in the chat are saying as well. They're kind of agreeing that's a good one, is to pay out of pocket, use that credit down the line for a different meal, or maybe double up and use it for a signature if you'd like to. Also, shout out to Dustin, who's watching live tonight from Alani. You're doing it right, man. Look for Maui. I bet you he can see Maui and Moana, maybe. Don't they live at Alani? Isn't that part of their backstory? Right, Ricky?
I believe.
They live at Alani, right? I mean, they're not from Hawaii. They live at Alani. And also, shout out to Scott, my partner in crime for all of our hijinks. He's watching from the air on his Southwest jet, flying home from Walt Disney World. That's pretty sweet. Well, it's not sweet that he's heading home, but you'll be back in June, brother. You'll hang in there. All right, next one. Disney restaurants not on the Disney dining plan. It's a question from Emily. For the first time in forever, hashtag frozen reference, we will not be using the Disney dining plan on our upcoming trip. What restaurants would you recommend for us to try that are not on the dining plan? Ones that we might not think of when we do have credits to use. It'll be my family of four, my husband, myself, and our two girls aged 1 and 5. We are definite foodies who love to try all sorts of cuisine. Thank you. Emily is in Ohio. All right, Pam. So first time in forever, not on the dining plan. What to think about? Maybe try some places that are not on the plan typically. What do you say?
So many places are on the plan, really. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's actually hard to like throw a dart at things that aren't on the plan. But some of the places that you're going to see that aren't included are going to be located at Disney Springs. But even most of those have been included in the table service plan. So other than that, I think some unique restaurants to maybe consider trying are going to be over at Disney Springs. You know, we've mentioned a few times about how awesome their choices are there. And of course, you know, we all really enjoy Homecoming. I mean, just can't get away from it. It's awesome. And just has great food and great choices, just a different kind of food available there. Also, I'll go ahead and recommend Morimoto's because on the dining plan, it's 2 credit. And you probably didn't use your 2 credits to go there. So I would try giving that one a shot too. They have great food, some unique choices, and just, you know, a great atmosphere as well. And I think also, you know, I recommend this frequently on the podcast, but there's a lot of lounges that are connected to signature restaurants that have great options for you to try. And lounges typically aren't included on the dining plan. So you can go there and order exactly what you want and think about trying one of those too.
All right. Sounds great. Next question is from Nicole in New Jersey. Hello, BOGP crew, longtime listener of the show and love all of your episodes. My wife and I are going to Disney World this October for 8 full days, and we are doing a split stay between Coronado Springs and the Yacht Club. Whoa, that's what I'm doing this summer. That's the exact same. You guys are awesome. That's exactly what I'm doing. Just because that's where there was availability, but that's exactly what I'm doing. No, I love those hotels. I mean, I'm pumped. My question is about breakfast. We are sit-down type breakfast people. These are my peeps. These are my peeps right here, Nicole and Dave. They're both on this email. We'll have to do a breakfast sometime. Sit down for sure at Coronado or Yacht Club. We love a full breakfast from either counter service or table service. While staying at Coronado Springs, there seems to be plenty of options for breakfast, but not so much for Yacht Club. We aren't really into character breakfast such as the Cape May Cafe, so I was hoping you can give us a few more spots to eat a good full breakfast. Thank you guys for all you do, and hope you have a great day. Thanks in advance, Nicole and Dave in New Jersey. All right, so Jocelyn, I think, is tuned in. If not, I know we're talking via text here. She always just walks to France and has breakfast every day of her Disney vacation.
So
I'm just saying, like, when she stays at Yachter Beach, it just, France is like the on-site restaurant. That's how she rolls. So I'm just throwing that out there. Pam, what would you say? Because she is exactly right. In some cases, the moderates and the values have more dining options for grabbing stuff than the deluxe resorts. What would you say for somebody looking for breakfast at Yacht?
Yeah, I Yacht Club, actually, we stay there all the time. So I have the breakfast thing all figured out. No worries, Nicole. I gotcha. So first of all, they have opened the beautiful new Ale and Compass restaurant, which is a sit down table restaurant. And their breakfast is really good. They have some good choices. I'm going to go ahead and personally recommend my favorite, which is the breakfast pizza. Hello. And by the way, it has a dippy egg in the middle. So you can take a little pizza crust and dip it in the dippy egg. It's all good. So anyways, is dippy egg a term that they use in other places? Because I just thought about that. I know that's a Pittsburgh term, but
it's not a St. Louis thing. But I mean, ooh, good butter cake is here. So,
you can get the concept, though. It's like basically an over easy egg. So I don't know why. I mean, we call it dippy egg because you dip into it, right? You dip So anyways, that's a great, but they have lots of other options too. If that's not your thing, I like the breakfast pizza. It's good. So if you're looking for counter service, you can go. They've also opened, you know, that new Ale and Compass Market in the Yacht Club, which actually does have a couple good breakfast options, but it's not really a full-on quick service location. If you're looking for that, I'd walk over to the Boardwalk, over to the Boardwalk Bakery.
Yes.
They have some choices there. Or you could also go over to the Beach Club, where they have the Beach Club Marketplace. They have more choices for breakfast than they do for any other meal.
Yeah,
Other meals are like pizza. Like, yeah, that's your choice. Like, pizza. That's it.
Flat and flatbread really pizza. Not even like a real full pizza. Yeah.
And whatever sandwich is in within the refrigerator, it's horrible. So that needs a complete redo. But they do have breakfast items. So, I mean, that's something you can choose there. And then, of course, you know, Jocelyn's right with the France. I mean, let's just face it. That's a good choice every day. So. Well,
I think she has a standing order, so she really just has to go over and pick it up. You know, like they know what she wants. You know, how many of them she's driving. You know, she does buzz through there and gets her breakfast for everybody. But also, Nicole in the chat's also mentioning you can walk over to the Swan and the Dolphin. They do have some options as well. And from Yacht Club, that's really close. That's even closer than, you know, going all the way around to the boardwalk if you're trying to save some steps. So you got options there. You just got to kind of think outside the box. So I like that. All right. Next question is from Mike in Rhode Island. Hey, guys. Great podcast. I listen and look forward to every episode. I want to bring my grandmother to Disney World during the Christmas celebration 2018. I go to Disney just about every year since I was a kid and know my way around the parks very well. She has not been in 25 years. I love this. This is awesome. One question is, when exactly do all the decorations in the parks and hotels go up? I've read different things from mid-November to late November. Also, I think she would love Soarin' and Flights of Passage. Which one should I have her do first? Thanks, Mike. All right, Ricky, so when would be the best, like, you know, you want to make sure that they're up resorts and parks. What would be the earliest you would go down for that case for Grandma?
For both the parks
yeah,
and
like the whole shebang. He wants the Grandma to see everything, resorts and parks. First of
I
December?
I mean, I would say that last week after Thanksgiving, definitely the first week of December, we'll have everything up. I know that I think that they usually put up like the Grand Floridian Gingerbread House like around that time right before, like the week before right after around Thanksgiving time right frame right there. So I think that that's going to be like that first week of December is really going to be your bread and butter.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want, because I mean, the crowds are fine that first week of December. That'd be a good time. The temperatures are usually nice, and that's the safest bet. Now you could push it up a little bit before Thanksgiving, but there might still be. It might not be as grand. I bet you they're at about 90%, 85%. You know, the week before Thanksgiving,
yeah.
But. I would wait. I would go after Thanksgiving because the crowds aren't going to be any worse. I don't think even after it might be better. So Pam, let me should he thinks Grandma's going to enjoy Soarin' or Flights of Passage? I would probably do Soarin' first. It's a little bit more tame, but that's just me. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead and give Soarin' a shot. They're basically the same ride. They're just different vehicle mechanisms. And, you know, in Soarin', you're just sitting. And Flights of Passage, you're sort of straddling the ride device like you would a motorcycle or something like that. So you're sitting in that. But you feel very secure when you're in there. Something actually comes up behind your back to keep you in and actually on your legs, too. So it's not, I've never felt like unsafe or even, I'm not someone who I would say is super afraid of heights, but it's not my favorite thing in the world. Right. And on that ride, I can't even remember taking a, like being like, you know what I mean? When you leaned out over, it just didn't feel that way to me. So it felt very secure, very, you know, tame in terms of movement and things like that. I don't think there's a lot of jerky movement on it. It's a very smooth ride. It's very interactive, but I think that she's probably going to like both of them.
I agree. I think Soarin', though, you're just less likely to have any kind of issues with motion. I think Soarin's just very tame, and Flights of Passage, I don't think there's going to be like a fear of heights or anything like insecurity at all. I think it's just that if you're going to have any kind of motion issues, you're more likely to have it on Flights of Passage. It's a little bit more intense, but it's not terrible. All right, last question today. Let's sneak this one in really quickly. Let's get one more first anniversary trip from Jonah. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife, Katie, and I will be celebrating our first wedding anniversary at Walt Disney World this coming November. We have reservations for Coronado Springs, and we're both really excited since our last trip was 3 years ago, which feels like a lifetime. Our question for you is, what can we do to have a perfect date night to celebrate 1 year of marriage in the world? Is skewers of steak and chicken at Ohana romantic? Well, coming to the right place. Yes.
Right place.
Yes. No, we'll see. And since it's been a little while since our last trip, which new thing should we do first? Last time we went, you could still soar over California. Thanks for your help. I absolutely love listening to the show. Jonas from Thibault, Louisiana, approximately 1,146 miles from Pam, but only 696 miles from catching a Cardinals game with Mike. Go Redbirds. We got a big W today, two in a row as we're recording, so I got to like that. All right, so Pam, give him some things to do to celebrate that 1 year of marital bliss. What would you do?
So I think that Ohana lends itself to being kind of, I don't know if it's a romantic experience. Maybe there's a few tables that are romantic, but it's more kind of a loud and joyous sort of experience, which doesn't, I guess, preclude it from being romantic because it has a lovely view over the lovely Polynesian at night. But you may want to consider some of the other, you know, restaurants that are in that space. It would be a little more romantic. I mean, if you're really looking for a romantic spot, I think you could just go ahead and hop on over to the California Grill and consider that one. Narcoossee's is out on the water there at the beautiful Grand Floridian, and it has a lovely view of the fireworks and also of the electrical water pageant, depending on the time of night that you're going. I think that even the Wave might be a tad more romantic. And I will tell you, it's just kind of dark in there and sort of lends itself to being just a tad more quieter than Ohana. Ohana is about coconut races and there's a luau singer and all of that, yeah. And lots of guys, you know, throwing ukuleles. Stuff on the fire to make it flare up. Yeah. So.
That sounds like my perfect night, man. That is awesome.
But not romantic. No, it's really.
I'll you know what? If you give me skewers of meat in romance, I'll probably go with the skewers of meat over it every time. Just saying.
So anyways, but I will tell you also that Steve and I went to the Wave again for dinner last time we were there, which wasn't that long ago. We had a really good meal at the Wave. We've had consistently good meals there. They bring in fresh food, locally grown when possible. Certainly in season, they take advantage of that. So that's something that you may want to consider. But look at the menus too and make sure that you find something that you both enjoy to eat. Because I think regardless of the atmosphere, if it's not food that you enjoy, it will never be romantic. So right. Go and enjoy.
Here's what I will say though. If you do enjoy Ohana, that could be like step one of the evening because you could have a meal at Ohana. Then you can stroll around the Polynesian Resort at night with the tiki torches going, grab a drink at Trader Sam's, you know, get one and just walk around the hotel and just enjoy the paths, the sand, the atmosphere. The atmosphere of Polynesian cannot be beat for romance in my book. Not that I'm Mr. Romance, but that's what it is for me. So Ricky, final thoughts on this one, and we're going to duck out until Friday.
I mean, I'm always one that I can find romance, I mean, pretty much anywhere. So Brian and I, we, you know, go on date nights literally everywhere, and it can be, you know, as romantic as just anything. So I can find romance in Ohana, and I would definitely go there. You could go California Grill with fireworks there. That's always a good suggestion. And really, you know, the best thing that I can say is just enjoy your time together. That's going to be key. That's the key for having a good anniversary. I mean, I've done them down there before. So that's
you're making me sick. You're making me I'm sick. Sorry. It's too romantic.
I've been married to Brian for forever, and I still love him. Oh, so.
I know. We're all happily married. Let me just say that. Not to each other. We're just all happily married.
No, thank God, not to each other. Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's awesome. Yeah. I just don't say that kind of stuff out loud too often, but that's cool. Hey, so let me ask you this, Ricky. Ricky, real quick, St. Louis reference. It could Fast Eddie's Bon Air ever be romantic?
I mean,
you got to
sure.
know this place in St. Louis. It's the least romantic place.
If you could share some shrimp together and a meat skewer, I think it can be romantic. So
all right.
Whatever.
Good deal. Okay. All right. On that note, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for the questions. Keep sending them in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about this week? You have 30 seconds. Go quick.
Okay, well, y'all, I have breaking news, actual breaking news yes. while we're recording this. The Walt Disney World Resort is introducing a brand new feature on the My Disney Experience app. It's going to be a new digital key that will allow guests to use their app to unlock their hotel room. Right now, it is only at Disney's Wilderness Lodge. It's going to be a seamless way to be able to enter your resort room. You can also, using the digital key, enter resort hotel entrance gates, common area doors that require the use of key, including pools, fitness centers, elevators, and club level lounges. You use the digital key by checking in on the app, and then you enter the room. You'll need to tap the unlock door button and then hold your phone up against the door, and you'll need to have a Bluetooth enabled mobile device as well as the updated version of My Disney Experience, and this will be rolling out to other Walt Disney World hotels in the near future.
So basically it's turning your phone into a magic band, right?
Correct.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So it'll be basically for guests that don't have magic bands as a convenience.
Every resort guest has a magic band, so it's really just another way to unlock.
Oh, yeah,
this is like a convenience. I will say, like, they do this at a lot of other hotel chains, and typically when you're near the room, it will sort of start to unlock. So, I mean, sort of sometimes.
Your magic band,
I know, your magic band is typically going to be easier, I would say.
Right.
But let's say you lost your magic band.
That's right.
That happens.
There you go.
That happens. Too many long night at Ohana, man. You never know those magic bands will end up. They get sauce on them and everything. Just saying. You know, but what they need to do, they need to turn all this stuff onto your Apple Watch. So you don't even need a magic band. I mean, come on now. Everybody's got an Apple Watch. Let's do that. That'd be easy.
Anyway. That would make my husband so happy if they would do that.
Can't be that tough. Anyway, check it out. Theme Park News Disney Edition. The best part is free app for your iOS device. So check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, time to go do your online shopping, but click through our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. You can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Until we get back together on Friday, we're going to give you some hot takes from Walt Disney World coming up on Friday. So be ready for that. I had to explain to Pam what a hot take was. So who knows how this is going to go, but we're going to give it a shot. So stay tuned. We like trying new things. You know, we're almost done 1,400 shows. We got to think outside the box sometimes. So we'll give it a go. So hopefully you have a great midweek. Thanks so much for checking in. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.